It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're talking about assaults in the military, specifically in the National Guard. And we're asking for an update from the leader of our Wisconsin National Guard. Major General Paul Knapp took the helm in March of last year, right as the coronavirus pandemic hit. Governor Evers appointed him to replace one of the longest-serving leaders of the Wisconsin Guard, who resigned over his handling of assault investigations. Since last year, General Knapp has overseen the longest domestic deployment in Wisconsin National Guard history. National Guard soldiers, they've been an essential part of the state's pandemic response. They've served as poll workers. They've been called upon to back up law enforcement all across the state. It's been a year. Have you served in the Guard? We'd love to hear from you this hour. 1-800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org. Major General Knapp, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning, Molly. Thanks so much for having me on this morning to talk about the progress that we've made on this very important topic over the last year. I appreciate the introduction. It has been an unprecedented year. But one of the things that I really want to get across today is that dealing with sexual assault in the National Guard, specifically the Wisconsin National Guard, has never taken a backseat to any of the other efforts that we've undertaken over the past year in regards to COVID and election support and the number of things that you pointed out. When I first took command, in fact, on the very first day, what I put up for my commanders in the senior leader conference was the following. I said that my number one priority as it relates to sexual assault and harassment is to create an environment where anyone in the organization, regardless of status, feels safe and protected in coming forward. I actually originally wrote it on a sticky note, post-it, and it's still on my computer monitor today. So definitely excited to be able to talk about this very difficult subject and share with you some of the progress we've made over the last year.
Well, and we're glad you're with us. And I'd love to know what we do know about what's happened over the past year. Do you know how many reports there have been, how many assaults we've seen over the past year?
Yes, definitely. And I track them. Now we track them daily. In fact, there are a number of ways that we have improved the process. First off, as you mentioned earlier, was in the previous segment, we talked about the Office of Complex Investigations from the National Guard Bureau and their investigation into Wisconsin National Guard and how sexual assault had been handled in the past. And the biggest thing in terms of administrative handling of these cases that we've changed is we've taken all of those 21 recommendations from the National Guard Bureau and implemented them on the timeline that we coordinated with Governor Evers. So basically by last September, we were completely in compliance with all federal and state guidelines on how to handle sexual assault when it's reported. Now, in terms of reporting, one of the things the governor and I have talked about in the past and continue to talk about is the number of reports. The data is very difficult, as been previously mentioned, to gather because of two different types of reporting that we can have in the military and also in the Wisconsin National Guard, and that's a restricted report and an unrestricted report. So an unrestricted report comes in through our sexual assault response coordinators. And then that is handled like any other report that would go to a civilian entity. And the big change there, as was pointed out in the OCI investigation, is that only there was a small percentage of those were being referred to local law enforcement. Today, and since I've taken command, 100% of the sexual assault allegations are reported to local law enforcement. And so that's one of the big changes.
And you said 100% of all of them or just the unrestricted reports?
Yeah, great. Thanks for that question, because that's an important distinction. And it really makes looking at the data difficult, because a restricted report, what that does is it allows a service member to report through the same structure through the sexual assault response coordinators. And then it allows them to do it without command being notified. And what that is, it's kind of the equivalent of a civilian going to a crisis center or something, but not wanting to go to law enforcement or not wanting to go to the police. So those individuals, we're able, through a restricted reporting, we are able to offer them the services. Number one, any medical services, any psychological care that they might need or want. We give them the exact same care as a survivor that we would someone who did an unrestricted report, but it doesn't go through that, through the investigative process. And that's by choice, at the choice of the individual making the report.
Okay. And so do we know how many reports there were last year?
Right now, we went up 30% from 2019 to 2020. And obviously the numbers here for 2021 are not in yet. And the big thing there is by creating an environment where people, survivors feel comfortable and trust in their organization, that we expected that number to go up. So it went up by about 30% from 2019 to 2020.
Okay. And you think that's a result of more people reporting? More.
Absolutely.
Coming forward.
And most importantly, feeling comfortable and protected reporting. One of the things that, go ahead.
Do you think you're capturing everything that's happening? Because I know that those who work in this field, they say that underreporting is a consistent problem that you see across the board. You see it all over civilian life, that many people just never feel that it's worth bringing a complaint if they can't see an outcome. Do you think you're actually getting reports? You're able to see what's happening within your institution?
Yeah, I think that's a key distinction. And my goal would be to have 100% of these incidents reported. But like you said, that across the board is probably unattainable across civilian life, military. There are certain people who are victims to sexual assault that just don't feel comfortable reporting for any number of reasons. It's a very, as you can imagine, an extremely traumatic event. And my hope would that we would get 100% of those events reported. That would be my goal. My goal would be to get 100% of them reported. Do we get there? Only time will tell. And that's another
topic.
You know, time. You know, I have to establish this trust with the entire force over time. I think we're on the right track. Seeing that increase from 2019 to 2020. Is one of the few data points that we can use to measure the success of our program.
We're speaking with Major General Paul Knapp of the Wisconsin National Guard, and we'd love to hear from you this hour. We're at 1-800-642-1234. We're going to go to the phone lines and bring in Josh from Oak Creek. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, guys. I just have a question. I appreciate that the unrestricted are going 100% to the local police departments now. However, jurisdiction-wise, how much authority is the military actually giving to these detectives to do their job, being that the oversight is still going to be military justice only? I'll take my comment off the air, or question off the air. Thanks.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for that question. And, first of all, they have 100% jurisdiction because the local law enforcement agency that's contacted is the agency that has jurisdiction over the matter. So we go to whichever jurisdiction where the sexual assault occurred, and then that's the law enforcement agency that takes action. And so we on the military side hope that is investigated and prosecuted on the local law enforcement side, and we don't get involved in that or we don't take their report. I think your question is, or implication, that we would take their report and then we would actually administer the justice. Well, that's not the case. The case is, if local law enforcement is handling the case, it is actually prosecuted in that local jurisdiction through local law enforcement and the district attorney.
So there's not investigations happening by the National Guard?
Correct. We no longer do any investigations internal to the National Guard of sexual assault. So what happens occasionally is the local law enforcement is notified, and then whether or not the survivor is cooperating with local law enforcement can determine whether or not they actually take the case, whether they decide that the case warrants an investigation. Obviously, that's completely out of our hands, but we cooperate 100%, and it's facilitated by our sexual assault response coordinators and our legal team here at the National Guard assist in making witnesses available, anything we can do, 100% cooperation with a local law enforcement investigation. However, sometimes they say that it doesn't meet the criteria that they would use to investigate. In that case, then the facts of the case then are transferred to the Office of Complex Investigations at the National Guard Bureau. And this would happen again, and has happened over the course of the last year, in 100% of the cases that were not taken by local law enforcement. And I'm not talking about a lot. I'm talking about a very small number. Then what they do is then the OCI then does their investigation. That is a military organization. And they do the investigation and then find it either substantiated or unsubstantiated after the course of that investigation.
Thanks for that. We're talking about the National Guard's response to sexual assault and harassment. We have Major General Paul Knapp with us. We're going to take a quick break for the weather and be back in a flash. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz. We're speaking with Major General Paul Knapp. He heads up the Wisconsin National Guard, taking over after the previous general resigned after sexual assault allegations came to light in the Guard. And we're getting a status update. What's happened over the past year? We're taking your calls. 1-800-642-1234 to speak with us this morning, or ideas@WPR.org. Have you served in the Guard? Are you in the Guard? What do you think needs to happen here? 1-800-642-1234. Well, Major General, you were describing the process that we go through to get these assault allegations investigated. And I wonder, what happens to the soldiers while these investigations are taking place? I mean, these can take a long time, I imagine.
They can. In fact, they've taken way too long in the past. And that's another initiative that we're working on to try and get these investigations completed as quickly as possible to bring closure for the soldiers involved. And while the investigation is ongoing, the number one thing when a complaint comes in or a report comes in, there's a 24-hour requirement that I'm notified directly within 24 hours, whether it's restricted or unrestricted. And we have a sit-down meeting with the sexual assault response coordinator, the commander, if it's an unrestricted report, our legal team, and then our support team. And we make sure, number one, that the survivor has everything that they need and is provided every resource that we can in order to take care of them. And that's the first question I always ask is, you know, how is the person doing? Is there anything that we need to do that we haven't done yet in terms of taking care of the survivor? Then next, in the workplace, if it is two soldiers and they do work in the same workplace, then one of the first things always is to basically get them working in separate places or separated. We facilitate restraining orders if necessary through local law enforcement, and so that they don't have additional trauma beyond what was initially reported. It's usually at the discretion of the survivor as to how that happens, and we work together with them to make sure that whatever action we take is acceptable to them and best meets their needs. That does bring up another good point in the data and the reporting is not all. In fact, the majority in the National Guard of sexual assaults that occur from the data that I've seen or the cases I've been involved in actually occur outside of the military environment. And we take reports whether it happens in a civilian environment or a military environment and whether or not the perpetrator is military or civilian. So it could be a military member who is reporting a sexual assault that occurred, on a college campus or at a workplace, a civilian workplace, that has actually no connection to the National Guard, but we still offer that National Guard member who's reporting all of the same support and services that we do if it were to occur between two service members.
Right. Well, we're at 1-800-642-1234. Have you served in the National Guard? We'd love to hear from you this morning. And we are going to go to the phones and bring on Nathan from Superior. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning.
What's your question?
My question for the general is, what happens to the investigation process when a Wisconsin National Guard person gets activated to what's called Title 10 federal activation orders and heads overseas or takes an action under Title 10 and then is assaulted? Because my understanding, like the Office for Complex Investigations is a National Guard Bureau function, whereas I'm just curious what happens if the assault happens while the soldier or airman in the Wisconsin Guard is on Title 10 orders, possibly overseas.
Great question, Nathan. Thanks. General.
Yeah, great question. The substance of the investigations really don't change on Title 10. Across the military, the direction is that local law enforcement, depending upon jurisdiction, would be used to investigate. If the soldier happens to be overseas, it's actually a very complex answer. It depends on the status of the forces agreement with the host country and whether or not the perpetrator is another service member or a local, which, on occasion may happen. But the investigative process would either be local jurisdiction or, while on Title 10, the Army has a CID, Criminal Investigative Division. Air Force has Office of Special Investigations. And then they would be the outside independent investigating authority for an allegation of sexual assault under those circumstances. If someone's serving on Title 10 in Wisconsin on a mission, say a COVID mission, or somewhere else in the United States on Title 10, then in general, it would go to local law enforcement first and then to those investigative bodies that I mentioned.
Yeah. What results have you seen of these investigations? Have there been consequences? Has anyone gone to jail?
Absolutely. There have been consequences. And during my tenure, many of the cases that I've been seeing are cases that are very old and that were either reinvestigated or re-looked at as part of the Office of Complex Investigation strategy. But yes, we have had soldiers discharged. I'm not aware of any Wisconsin soldiers who have served jail sentences since I've taken over, but there have been discharges from the military under other than honorable circumstances. And so, yes, definitely.
So they lose their jobs. But maybe nothing else in the criminal system, anything beyond that.
Well, to clarify that, if the soldier or airman is charged by a district attorney, they would go through the civilian court process and be found they would be found either guilty or not guilty. If they're found guilty, then they would go through the entire process of whatever that sentence was on the civilian side. And that can impact, and then it would be used as well on the military side to determine whether or not the soldier or airman would continue serving in the Wisconsin National Guard. The actual sentencing and whether or not they carry out that sentence or what the terms of that sentence are up to civilian law enforcement.
Gotcha. Well, we're almost out of time, but I wonder what's next? What's on your agenda for this year? What are you tackling?
Well, okay, the next in terms of sexual assault, I really come back to our number one priority is just to continue to create and foster an environment where survivors feel comfortable and protected against any type of retaliation or reprisal, and they come forward and they get the services. It's a traumatic thing, sexual assault under any circumstance in any status, and we just want to take care of the soldiers and airmen and the Wisconsin National Guard.
Well, thank you, Major General, for joining us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Molly.
Major General Paul Knapp commands the Wisconsin National Guard. He's also the state's senior Homeland Security Advisor. He oversees Wisconsin Emergency Management. And if you need someone to talk to, there is help. The National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-HOPE. It's 1-800-656-4673. You'll be connected with a trained staff member from a sexual assault service provider wherever you live. 1-800-656-HOPE. Just ahead, we explore the latest science and strategies for coping with ADHD. We've got a psychiatrist taking your questions. What do you want to know about symptoms or treatments? That's coming up after this news.